John chapter 6. I want to talk to you about something tonight. As a church, I think it'll help you. Every member needs to hear it. And we will one day have a property, a building, and we will one day have a larger place. But you know, with a crowd like this on Wednesday night, we don't need a larger place. And so I'm not worried about it. Lord will do it in His time. All right, John chapter 6, verse 13 verses. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this said He to prove him. In other words, He's going to see what He's going to say, what the answer is, because He's going to teach him a lesson. See? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And a penny was a day's wages. So He's saying 200 days wages are not going to buy enough food for this crowd. And then verse 8, one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And it wasn't like he had some faith and he's saying, "Well, you can do something with this." What he was saying was, the only food out there is 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. That ain't enough. That's what he was saying, see. And so, verse 10. And Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now, if you get to thinking about this, he said men to sit down because he knew their wives and children would sit with them. So there could be anything from twice as many as that to 3 times as many as that, or even more. We don't know how many women and children were there. But we know that there were about 5,000 men. So let's just say there was 10,000 people there if you count children and wives, or just wives, you know. And when Jesus took the loaves and when He had given thanks, He distributed, I like this, to the disciples, and disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now I want you to stop right there and I want you to get a picture of this. It's not like Jesus laid out 10,000 baskets and filled them up. One disciples would come up with a little old basket and Jesus break fish off and break bread off and send him on. And then he'd come up and off that same fish and that same bread, He might have filled up 5,000 baskets off of one fish and one loaf of bread. Do y'all see what I'm saying? It's not like he said, he just kept breaking and throwing it in, breaking and throwing it in, breaking and throwing it in. And he was making it as it went along, see. And so that's miraculous to me right there. And when they were filled, well, now wait a minute, little old crumb, little old piece of fish ain't going to fill nobody up. He must have given them some good portions, amen? Out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes, after they were filled with a handful of bread and a handful of fish, and all these thousands were filled. It says, after they were filled, He said unto His disciples, look at this, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." He said, in other words, 5 loaves of bread, 2 little fishes, go get the leftovers. Yeah. Don't you imagine the disciples looked at him kind of funny? Leftovers? Leftovers? There's leftovers out of this? And they went back. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, when they say baskets, they don't mean a little offering plate. They mean a basket. They got 12 baskets of fragments. This little boy that came with a bag lunch, and when he said loaves of bread, it must have been the size of a biscuit, because why would a little boy have 5 loaves of bread? That was his lunch. So we could say it little loaves, you know. He brought 5 little loaves of bread, and it emphasized 2 little fishes, and he brought them in 1 sack. And when he went home, I don't know if it happened this way, but could you imagine? He goes home, and as he's coming up to the door, his mama sees him, and there's 12 apostles behind him carrying these big old baskets of bread and fish. And she says, "Son, who are those people? And what is it they're carrying?" He says, "That's my friends I made over at church, and we're bringing home the leftovers from my lunch." And said, so not only did he feed those thousands, but he gave that mama and that little boy enough leftovers to eat for a long time. Amen? There's all kind of miracles in this story, I'm telling you. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. When even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea. Now I want you to see a couple of things about this story. I pretty well explained the story, and it's very familiar. I think most of you already know it. But I'll never get over that picture of that little boy coming home, left with a sack lunch, and he come back with 12 apostles with big old giant baskets full of bread and fish. I just can see the look of his mama. You know, she, "What? That ain't what I sent with you." It is after Jesus got through with it. Amen. But tonight, I want you to know, I guess you could call Jesus an overachiever. He didn't just make enough to feed people. He made enough and then some. And he always did that. But in this case, he really did that. He overachieved, if that was such a thing. But I think when the boy got home, it was what they needed at home too. But when you look at what Jesus does, he never does anything halfway. Never. He is never incomplete. He always completes what he starts. And it's always his best. It's always his best. And there's a lot of people, Christians, church members, they always go that extra mile, and they always seem to get something done even above and beyond their seen abilities. Do y'all know what I'm saying? There's always church members, Christians, that seem like it shocks you what they can do. And you ask them to do something, they don't just do what you ask them to do. They go the extra mile and do even more so. Y'all know people like that? Well, I do. They're rare as hen's teeth. You ever seen hen's teeth? That's because they're so rare. But there's nothing wrong with overachieving. Why should we be committed to doing something without doing it, as he said, unto the Lord and with all thy might? Amen? There ain't nothing worse than a lazy Christian. Amen. I mean, a lazy Christian that won't do anything for God, won't do anything for anybody else. And then you got those few that they're struggling to do something. Then you got some that they do it and then even go the extra mile. But a lazy Christian makes me sick. I'll be honest with you, it makes me sick. As much as God's done for me, I ought to do something for him and somebody else. Amen? And I ought not do it halfway. And we've had people come here claim to be servants, and they'll want to do something, so I'll let them do it. And then they'll do it halfway, or they'll do it good 1 or 2 times, and then they'll get slack, and then slacker, you know. like that preacher that showed up 20 minutes late that night, and he said, I don't see the big deal. I said, well, I don't see why you don't see a big deal. If you're doing something for God, you ought to be on time, you ought to do it, you ought to do it all you might. You don't make people sit around and wait for you to do something for God. They come to hear something from God, you ought to be there and be ready and give it to them all you got. Amen? Amen. But there's a lot of lazy preachers don't do that. There's a lot of lazy preachers don't do that. They just shoot from the hip all the time. They don't study. They don't prepare. They don't get there early. They don't stay late. They don't go the extra mile. They're just lazy, brother. But I think if we're going to do anything for God, we'll do like he said. We'll do it with all our might. Would you say that? Everywhere I ever went to work, they asked me, why do you think you would be a good employee for this company? And I always wrote on there, because I'll do it as unto the Lord, and I will do it with all my might as unto him to please him. And then they'd read that, and they'd ask me about that. And I said, well, I figure if I can please him, it should please you. And they'd say, well, yeah, if you can please the Lord, you're pleasing me. And it always worked that way. Until it made other people look bad, and then they wouldn't believe. But the point was, Jesus, he didn't just ride in the boat, he walked on the water. Amen. He didn't just ride in the boat, he walked on the water. Wouldn't you think that was a great achievement? Amen. He didn't just raise one from the dead, he raised three people from the dead. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to read your Bible. He raised three people from the dead. He didn't just feed one or two. He fed thousands with the least amount. He fed thousands of people. He took the least amount where everybody else was saying, well, what's such a little amount with so many people? He said, give it here, I'll show you. And he achieved that. He fed thousands instead of one or two. He made lame men walk, blind men see, hearing, deaf men hear. He went the extra mile. And they didn't hear in one ear and see in one eye. He made them right, amen? You see these TV shows, you know, these guys are supposed to be healers. You know they're not, don't you? I hope you're smart enough to know that. And they'll walk over to somebody in a wheelchair, you know, and they'll spit on them, throw water on them, you know, slap them, do all kinds of stuff to them. I saw one guy kick a woman in the belly. Yeah, said he was killing her cancer. And they'll slap people, stuff like that. But then after they do all their humbo mumbo and jumbo and magic potion stuff, you know, then they'll take them by the hand, and they got two guys behind them lifting them up out of that wheelchair, and they'll stand there, and everybody say, praise God, hallelujah, he got healed. And then they set the guy back down in the wheelchair and push him off. That ain't the way God works. Amen? The disciple said, take up thy bed and walk. And the Bible says he leapt. He didn't just stand, he leapt. And he picked up that bed and walked off. And the religious crowd said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be crippled. He said, I was, but I ain't no more. Amen. Who healed you? I don't know. This guy down here named Jesus. That's all I know. I don't know who he is. I just know I was crippled. Now I can walk. And he did it. Amen. And so everything Jesus did, he did it right, and he did it above what people expected. He didn't just get them to the shore. He calmed the sea, then he got them to the shore. Amen? He didn't just die for the sins of the few. He died for the sins of the whole world, for whosoever will. Whoever ever will be or ever has been, be born, he died for everybody. Amen. That doesn't mean everybody's saved, but it means now they have the opportunity to be saved. And he didn't just die for the world. He rose from the grave the third day to prove that he was the accepted sacrifice. Amen. And then he didn't just die for, he didn't just live for our sins. He didn't just die for our sins. He didn't just raise from the grave from our sins. But then he ascended up in heaven to go sit on the right hand of the Father to intercede for us through all eternity. And he went, boy, he done all of that. Now you read these stories of these so-called gods. None of them's ever done all this. And of course, you'd say, of course, he's an overachiever. He's God. Everything he does is abundant. Amen. Everything. But I think Jesus wants us to do some achieving too. I think he wants us to do some overachieving. You know why? That's how he gets glory. He gets, see, when we do something for God And people say, man, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't think you could ever do that. I didn't know you would ever be like that. God must have done that because you couldn't do that. Amen? So he gets the glory. Now, why would he want you to be? Okay. Because everything that's accomplished, that you accomplish, people look at you and they'll say, he ain't the same person. She ain't the same person. Somebody helped them do that. Amen?
Yes.
Amen? because it also, he wants us to do it because sometimes it shows him how much we love him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. See, he's saying, you'll do something if you love me. You won't just say you love me, you'll do something. You'll keep my commandments, and you won't gripe and complain about it, you won't whine and cry about it, because you'll keep my commandments, and they will not be grievous because you love me. You know, a man, in my opinion, I might be wrong, I was raised in Lancaster, okay, you can forgive me for some things. Danny talks about that all the time. But I think a man that has children, he don't have any other responsibility or dreams for the rest of his life until those children are raised. And he'll stay up later, and he'll work longer, and he'll do more, and he'll suffer more, and he will abundantly work. He'll be an overachiever while those children are growing up because he doesn't want them to be hungry. Why? He loves them. He doesn't want them to be naked. He loves them. He doesn't want that woman to have to go to work and keep his sorry hide up because he loves her and he loves those children, and he's going to work, and he's going to have to work two jobs if he has to. Come on, fellas. Be an overachiever. We've got husbands and fathers now that are... They have no goals. Come on, help me. And I don't know, y'all, you fellas, I don't know your past, but I'll tell you this. Any man they put, we used to call it chain gang, but now they call it York County Detention Center. I call it York County Hotel. It's air conditioned, it's heating on it. But I tell those guys when they come out there, you know, and I go out there and preach and they get complaining. I say, what you in here for? Child support, that sorry woman. I said, no, sir, that sorry man. You ought to pay your child support. It's your children. You birthed them. You ought to feed them and clothe them and take care of them, or you ought to be in jail. I'll go farther than that. You ought to love them and you ought to teach them. You ought to go the extra mile. A lot of men, brother, go to work and they say, well, they know I love them. I work and I put food on the table. No, they don't know. You got to have something to do with them. You got to interact with them, play with them, teach them how to play ball, run chase with them, love them and be with them and go that extra mile. And then they know you love them. Amen? They figure you bring home a check and pay the rent and pay the groceries. You had to stay in the house and eat too. That don't prove a thing to them. You better go that extra mile. You better be an overachiever while you're raising children. Amen. I'd say my wife, all those years, we struggled because I tried to be in the ministry and work and go to school. And she stayed home. And I tell you what, she raised my children. She raised those children. I had a little bit to do with it on the weekends, but most of the time I didn't have much to do with it. But I'll tell you one thing, we struggled, but we still loved and went the extra mile with them. We didn't just be parents. We wanted to be good parents. Getting awful quiet in here. What's going on? I thought I was preaching to the choir. I might be preaching to the jailhouse. Amen. but he wants us to be an overachiever, so he'll get the glory. And by the way, it proves you love him abundantly if you serve him abundantly. You say, I don't have to prove it. Well, we just read it. Where he go back and look at the verse of that thing. Where was it? Verse 2. Oh, verse 6. And this he said to prove him. And this he said to prove him because he knew what was going to happen. He looked at him and he told him something to see how he would react to prove him. And then he's going to show him. Well, sometimes we need to prove some things to him. Amen? Amen. I better go on. It's getting awful quiet in here tonight. The crowd that needs it ain't even here. Amen? Hey, this story taught me some lessons about some overachievers for the glory of God. Let me give you some principles. This is how you overachieve. We look at our own backwardness. We look at our lack of talent. We look at our lack of brains. We look at our lack of learning. We look at our lack of finances. We get discouraged and we think we can't help one or two people, let alone a multitude. But I've got news for you, little as much if God is in it. And he said, if you'll be faithful in little things, I'll reward you greatly. Well, preacher, I can't preach to a crowd. You can preach to one. Down on the job, instead of talking about NASCAR and the latest baseball, football, basketball, hockey, horse race, whatever it is they talk about now, I don't know any of them. I couldn't name you one player. I don't know any of them. But I can tell you some things about the Lord. Amen? Amen. Boy, I'd get around those men at work. They get talking about that stuff. They say, what you think? I say, I ain't got a clue. I don't know anything about that. But let me tell you what I do know. I know if I die, I'm going to heaven because I once was lost and now I'm found. I know the Lord's good to me, sorry as I am and undeserving as I am. He saved me anyway. And they wouldn't talk to me about football anymore. But look, you say, well, what do I have? I don't have anything to offer. Well, look at Mark 6:38. Mark 6:38. He saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, five and two fishes. Five and two fishes. Now, look to see what you have. Look and see. What do you have? You got good health. You got good eyes, you got good ears, you got good feet, you got good breath. I think you're in your right mind. You are while you're around here anyway. At least it appears to be. You're putting on a good show if you don't. Now, I done confused somebody on Mark 6:38. I probably paraphrased it wrong. If I did, I'm sorry, okay? But the point being is this. What do you have? What do you have? Well, they had a little boy's lunch. You think that little boy came there that day with the idea that he was going to feed 10,000 people with his lunch? I don't know why he brought lunch. Nobody else did. Why did he bring it? I thought one time it may be true. I thought, well, he brought that to the Lord. He brought him an offering. He brought him some lunch. He probably told his mama, said, look, I know people ain't taking lunches down there, but I bet Jesus could use a lunch. Can I take him lunch? And mama fixed him a lunch, and he rewarded her by sending her 12 basketfuls back. I don't know. The Bible don't say. My guess is just as good as yours. Mine sounds good. Amen. Amen. Go with mine. But he had a little bit. You say, well, what have I got? You got a little bit? You got a little bit? That one woman took that hay penny, that little half a penny, threw it in the offering down there at the temple, while people was coming by throwing big old bags of silver and gold in there, rich people throwing bags. It didn't hurt them a bit. They had a bunch more gold and silver at home. They were rich. But that little woman had half a penny, and she threw it in there, and Jesus said she gave more than them all. And they said, how'd she do that? She didn't give them a half a penny. He said she gave everything she had. Well, I ain't got much, y'all. I don't have much. Well, what do you got? Give what you got. Just give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, it ain't much, but here it is. If you can use it, this is what I got. You got talent? You do. You got lots of talents. All y'all do. Everybody in here's got talents. I'm not talking about the Bible talent of money. I'm talking about talents. All of you know how to do things. Some of you had have a pretty good disposition you could share with people. But everybody in here could be like that little boy. We could all give Jesus something that we have, and he can make much out of it. You ever thought about that? I remember when he called me to preach, I'd be reading my Bible, and he'd be calling Moses, and I'd hear my name in my head and my heart. I'd start crying. I'd say, Lord, I can't do that. And then I'd read on. Moses said the same thing I did. He'd tell Elijah to go tell somebody something, and I'd feel in my heart and in my brain that my name was there, and I'd say, Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. And then I keep on reading. Elijah sometimes say, Lord, they'll kill me. He said, go ahead, I'll take care of you. Don't look at their faces. I'll do the looking. So we can take our little bit. And by the way, when I surrendered to preach, the church didn't go, woo! Some of them went, oh. The other guy that surrendered, they went, woo! Not me. I didn't do it myself. I was as surprised as the rest of them. Amen? They weren't surprised. He played on the softball team. He played on the bowling league. He was a big sports guy. He had a job in the fire department. He was a fireman. I worked in the cotton mill. I was a blue lint head. Amen. A lot of people think, well, what's wrong? Maybe it's wrong to be like that. Is it wrong to want to do a lot for the Lord? Well, people think you're bragging. Only people that don't do anything, they get convicted. You know, the only people going to talk about people that's trying to do something for the Lord and they don't like it, or the people that should be doing something and they're not doing it, and they get convicted by what you're doing. They'll come up there and say, you hear about old Rick, he done got religion. He sits up there on the front row. I heard him say amen on one of them Facebook Lives one time. He done gone religion crazy. And another one says, yeah, but it won't last. That's exactly the way to do it. Amen. What they're saying is, you ain't got enough to give to him to last long. But he'll take our little bit and he'll make a bunch out of it. Amen. I thought about this. What could everybody in church could do something? I'm going to give you a list. You got a driver's license in a car? You could bring somebody to church. You could have your own bus route. Start with your car. If you fill it up, we'll buy you a van. You fill that up, we'll buy you a bus. That's how me and my wife did it. We started off with a station wagon, and the preacher, I opened it up one night at church, and Preacher Smith saw all them kids piling out. Looked like one of them little cars at the circus where all the clowns are coming out of it. He said, boy, where'd you get all them kids at? I said, got them over in Rock Hill. He said, you need a bus. The next week, he had a 1967 Chevrolet, ugliest bus you'd ever seen in your life. You had to push it to crank it. but we filled up that old bus. So the Lord sent us two more buses. Now, if you just get to doing it, God will do the rest. Amen. Just take your lunch to the Lord and say, it ain't much, Lord, but here it is. He'll make it go. Amen. Do you got a singing voice? You can sing. You got a sense of humor? Boy, that's needed around here. Amen. Especially while I'm preaching. Can you play a musical instrument? Do you have a friendly disposition? You'd be surprised how far that goes, serving the Lord, having a good disposition. We got so many sour Christians now, it's unbelievable. Can you listen to somebody talk? Just listen to somebody talk. Give them an ear. Can you encourage somebody and say, look, the Lord's going to make it better. It's going to get better. Just encouraging people. Can you fix things? Can you clean? Can you plan? Do you have a regular income you can give? Can you not invite somebody to church? Let me do the preaching. Can you not memorize a scripture or two that you could share every once in a while with people? You'd be surprised how rare that is. Do you not have a concern for lost people? Can't you pray? Amen. 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 Everybody can do something. Everybody. How about that word hospitality? Do you know what hospitality means? That's where the word hospital comes from. It came from an old word, and I think it was either Greek or Latin. But what it meant was you were willing to take people under your wing and feed them and put them up for a night or two. And if they were sick, you would mend them, you know, and you'd get them better. When I go preach for Tony Green, he puts me up. This woman owns some apartment houses, and there's always one empty. And he'll get people to bring furniture and stuff and fill up that apartment house just for the few nights that I'm there. And then people have fixed food for me. And he'll take me out to eat one time, twice a week maybe. But people send food over that apartment. and won't let me do anything. But that's hospitality. You can love people. You can buy somebody a lunch to get them to go to church, or to get you to let them talk to you about the Lord a little bit. Couldn't you do that? I mean, Burger King, $6, $8, you know, hospitality. Invite people over to your house. Say, look, you need to come over to my house. I'll tell you what, come to church, and after church, come over to the house and eat Sunday dinner with us. We always have Sunday dinner together, don't you? We could get about 10 in your house, couldn't we? Amen? Hey, people can do that. Can you work a computer? Can you work a computer? Boy, I got like 3 different Facebook pages now, and we got that internet thing, you know, and I'm trying to get on the radio. I don't know which one I'm going to get on. They're not returning my calls. I think they done heard about me. But anyway, I'll need somebody to edit the sermons to keep them down to 30 minutes. Not me. Look, it's 5 after. Not me. Somebody's got to cut out all the, you know, save time, you know. Can you do anything for the Lord? Can you clean a building? Can you sweep a floor? Can you see a stranger walk into church and walk up to him and say, man, we're glad to have you today. We want you to come and enjoy yourself. Come sit with me. Come on over here and sit with me. Amen. You can visit somebody sick. It ain't only the preacher can do that. You can run over and see Brother Ron. Say, Ron, the preacher told me I couldn't stay but 2 or 3 minutes, but I want to know. I want to encourage you and tell you we love you and we're praying for you. I want to pray for you right now and pray for him and get out of there. Pray for his wife. Could you cook her supper and take it over and leave it in her house? Do y'all see what I'm saying? Everybody can do something. Everybody's got a little lunch. Somehow, what you need to do is figure out what you can do and then go at it with all your might. Every time a new person shows up, find out their name, address, send them a card, personal card, and say, you met me, I shook your hand. I just want to tell you I was so happy to see you at our church, and I hope you come back, and we'll be praying for you. What if somebody got 5 cards from 5 different people in this church every time they visit the church? It'd blow their mind. I've had people now tell me, you know, your church sent me a card. No church has ever sent me a card. You know, somebody from your church called me. Nobody from church has ever called me. And most time they say, you know, pastor, you're here at my house. I've never had a pastor visit my house. Everybody can do something. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
I mean, you ain't mad at me, are you? Well, that don't matter if you are. Look at verse 9 and we'll quit. Chapter 6, look at verse 9. There's a lad which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now, you know what he had to do? He had to surrender that lunch before God could use it. He had to surrender. He had to give it up. And we don't have time, but you know Romans 12 says we're to surrender our bodies a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Why don't you just surrender? Say, Lord, I ain't much. I don't even know if I have a talent. You ought to have heard me the first time I led singing at the jail. They was crying. And they wasn't even under conviction. The angels wept that day. The demons roared. I didn't know what I was doing. Went over there to Blessed Hope. By then, I'd done learned to holler loud enough kids would listen to me when I got over there where Nancy was. And then I'd have to break something or burn something, set something on fire to get them to keep looking at me while I was doing it. Everybody can do something. Take that little bit you got and say, Lord, there's millions of people dying, going to hell. And I know I come in contact with thousands. You do too. You do.
Yeah.
We travel up and down the road every day. We go to the grocery store, go to the doctor's office. We come in contact with thousands of people in our lives. And say, Lord, here's my little, it ain't much. But Lord, you said if I'd give it to you, you'd use it. Not can you use it, he can use it. Philippians 4:13, I'll quit. Philippians 4:13, most of you already know it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, if you just let it go, give it to Him, just let it go, give it to Him, surrender it to Him, then you can do anything. Because see what He's going to do, He's going to sanctify it. And He's going to make it holy. And He's going to empower it by His Holy Spirit. And then that little thing that you gave Him will grow powerful. And you may not even know it for several years. One day you'll step back and you'll say, man, I didn't know that was happening when I was talking to that guy. Or I didn't know that was happening when I was doing that for that gal. I didn't know that was happening. Because God was doing the work. All you was doing was giving him your little fish, giving him your little bread. You moved all the way from California to put your little fishes and bread up here and help me sing and go in there and do children's church. You had the two fishes. You had the five loaves of bread. Amen. I mean, it moved y'all all the way from Michigan. He took your little lunch and laid it up here and started making a bunch out of it. Amen. Put you over there working with the kids. And when he's out, you're going to have to get up there too. And so he takes y'all's little lunch all the way from Michigan. Who would think somebody would come from Michigan with anything anyway? Then he gets Holroyd, look at me, Holroyd. Can any good thing come out of Lowry's? Can any good thing come out of Chester, South Carolina? Chester, South Carolina. And if anything good, it does come out of Chester, amen. But it takes old boy, he's been out of God's will all this time. He's carrying his lunch the whole time he was out of God's will. Carrying it with him. He didn't know it. He's carrying that lunch around while he was out of God's will, amen. And then he turned on the internet one day and found an old redneck preacher that talked the way he did. And then the Lord showed him that lunch, and he come down here and served it to us. Amen? Right here. He served us his lunch. Belinda walked into a hospital room. She didn't know it. She had her lunch. The old devil tried to cut it out and throw it away. It was right there the whole time. That's why the devil wanted to cut her throat, see? She had her little lunch. And she gave her lunch to God, and now God's using her all over the place. My wife, growing up, little old girl over here in the Rock Hill Homes, and learned how to teach school and Sunday school. And boy, she's affected so many people out there in the public. We can't go nowhere in York because everybody up there, now she's working on the grandchildren. She taught the parents. And she taught the grandparents. And now she's teaching the grandchildren. Now listen to me. Listen, people walk up to her all the time and say, I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you. Miss Roddy, you'll never know what you did to me, Miss Roddy. You'll never know how you affected. God took that little autistic boy over at the nursing home.
Yes, Lord.
He was singing like this. And I don't even remember what he was singing. He was making all kind of motion. But he was, what was it?
Everything.
He even was singing, I'll Fly Away back there. I saw him do like this while he was singing, I'll Fly Away with him. The little boy, he didn't know he had lunch. But hey, listen, Tuesday night he brought his lunch to the nursing home. He fed it, those people over at the nursing home. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. We all got one. Why don't you take your lunch and give it to the Lord? You say, I'm scared. We all are. But you know what? He said in Philippians 4:13, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I used to have a church member who was, he's a black man, he was multi-talented. He could do electrical, he could do plumbing, he could do anything, construction, and do a good job. And I said, how'd you learn that? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I said, you can do anything? He said, yeah, I can do anything. If the Lord wants me to do it, I can do it. I said, how about brain surgery? He said, he smiled. He said, if that's what the Lord wants me to do, he'll give me the ability to do it. I can do brain surgery. Amen. I said, I love you. I believe that. But let's get this other guy over here if we do. Not my man. Take a screwdriver. Amen. All right, let's go out here this week and share our lunch. You want to? Let's share it. Let's stand, Father.